Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart always be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I invite you to turn in your pew Bibles to page 852. We will reflect a little bit on this passage from Luke chapter 17. Again, that's page 852. Jesus and his followers are on their way to Jerusalem, and Luke tells us that they are passing through the region between Samaria and Galilee. If we were to visualize this on a map, moving from north to south and what we now consider the nation state of Israel, Galilee is to the north, Samaria is immediately south of Galilee, and Judea, where Jerusalem is located, is immediately south of Samaria. We need to remember, too, how the Jewish people and the Samaritans did not get along. The Tuesday Bible study is making its way through the second book of Kings from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, which is providing some background on this conflict. But for the moment, it is enough to simply remind ourselves of the animosity between Jews and Samaritans. And so with that, we have to take into consideration how, in this story, Jesus is approached by a group of lepers, 10 of them, in fact, and we infer that as many as 9 of them are Jewish, and at least one of them is Samaritan. Their skin disease, or it could be a variety of skin diseases, but whatever they have, that has forced them outside of their respective communities. They've been exiled from their families, their homes, and they've had to create a new community with one another, these leprous Jews and Samaritans. Tragedies can do that, can't they? Whether it's a natural disaster or widespread illness, epidemics, pandemics pay no mind to the divisions, the discriminations that humanity tries to put up between one another. So it's interesting to note that this group of lepers, well, they're in community with one another, both Jews and Samaritans, and together they call out to Jesus. And they can't just walk right up to him. They do approach him, but they have to keep their distance. We don't know how much of a distance they're required to keep so that others won't contract their illness, but they at least get close enough for Jesus to see them and to hear them. They have obviously heard about Jesus and what he can do, and they trust. We see this right off the bat with them. They trust, they have faith that Jesus can make their lives better. So in verse 13, they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Show us some compassion. Nobody else will. Life has thrown us a curveball. It has cost us relationships with our family and friends. We can't work. We can only beg. Our humanity has been diminished. We don't feel like we're worthy anymore. Life does not seem like it's worth living sometimes. So please, Jesus, do something for us." Luke doesn't need to spell it out, but Jesus obviously is moved by the cries of these lepers, because we read here that Jesus saw them, he took notice of them, and then Jesus simply speaks to them in verse 14, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." He doesn't have to touch them. Jesus doesn't need to open the prayer book and turn to the 800s to say a special prayer for them. Jesus simply tells them to go and show themselves to the priest, meaning go fulfill the requirements that God gave to Moses and Aaron in what we now call the 13th and 14th chapters of the book of Leviticus, which I know we all read this morning when we woke up. No, we didn't. But that's where it is. That's what Jesus is referring to. So after that, after Jesus gives this religious requirement, these 10 lepers turn from Jesus and they begin moving in whatever direction the priests were. And Luke tells us this beautiful little passage: as they went, As they went, as they journeyed along, they were made clean. Jesus speaks, the 10 lepers obey, and all 10 lepers are cured. And then notice what comes next in verse 15. And as I read this verse, this is where we can put our holy imaginations into play. This man is walking along towards the priest, and he's just heard Jesus' instructions. And I wonder if he's heard similar words from another holy man at some point during his illness. Is he believing that this is too good to be true and that his hopes are going to be dashed? Has he been let down before? What's his experience been with his illness and promises of cures? So picture in your mind's eye, maybe the man stops and looks at his hands and then looks at his arms, and maybe if this happened near the Jordan River, there's no evidence that it did, but let's just dream a little bit. If it happened near the Jordan River or some other body of water, the man could have run to the riverbank, looked over, and used the water as a mirror to see what's happening to him because he knows something's going on. He realizes that he has been cured. His leprosy is gone. The words Jesus speaks make a difference in this person's life, and he notices. So instead of continuing his trek towards the priest, forget for a moment about the cultural expectations of religion, this man returns to Jesus. He praises God in a loud voice, maybe louder than what he and the other 9 cried out to get Jesus' attention in the first place. The man falls at Jesus' feet and says, "Thank you. Thank you." And so now we're left with the question, why only one? This is probably the only place in Scripture where we look at 10% and say, well, that's real low. Why does only one of the cured lepers return to Jesus and say, "Thank you"? Why do the other 9, who were also, all of them were made clean as they made their ways to the priest, why did they not show gratitude to Jesus? I don't think this has anything to do with the fact that the one who said thank you to Jesus is a Samaritan and the others are not. That's a rabbit hole that could be explored in a Bible study. And I expect there could be some benefit to doing that, but I'm not convinced it's central to the story, nor do I think this man, the Samaritan who gets cured, I don't think he's any more worthy of being cured than the other 9. Look at how this story plays out. Jesus shows up on the scene, the lepers cry out for mercy, and Jesus speaks words which lead to healing. Before the lepers make it to the priest, before any of them has a chance to show gratitude towards Jesus. And if that's not confusing enough, if there's a little bit of confusion there, notice too at the end of the story, verse 19, Jesus says to the now former leper who returned to say thank you, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. How are we supposed to understand that? Your faith has made you well. Because clearly, this Samaritan was cured before he returned to Jesus to say thank you. So we have to start asking the what if questions. What if there is more to faith than going to God in our desperation so that God can fix our medical and physical problems? You see, the story indicates that the 9 other former lepers were healed just as much as the Samaritan. Jesus gave them their healing, no questions asked, apparently not much faith required except for shouting out to get Jesus' attention. But is faith only about crying out to Jesus in our desperation? I mean, let's be honest. When we're not desperate, do we really feel like crying out to Jesus? No need for Jesus when it's all good. Or is there? What if What if faith includes embarking on a journey to discover where goodness and wholeness originate and learn how to be grateful in the midst of that journey? What if faith is meant to prompt us to stop, to engage in a bit of self-examination and reflection, to show us the absurdity of merely going through the motions with the religion, to disabuse ourselves of the notion of entitlement, and then return to the source of all healing, drop at his feet, and say, "Thank you." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.